going on, y'all? Welcome to the last episode of 2024 of the Work to Wellness to Wealth podcast. Listen, we about to call it quits on 24, man. We about to roll into 25. So hope you all had a really good year. This is going to be, of course, my last episode for this year. And what I thought I would do this year is just kind of do a recap over of some of my previous episodes and just give you some financial reminders as we head into 2025, just to make sure that you're in the right headspace. So this is going to be a really quick episode. I got 25 financial wellness reminders for you as we head into 2025. So make sure you take some notes, caption them, do what you need to do so we can go into 2025 with a full head of steam. As always, here's my disclaimer. Let me start by saying I'm not a financial advisor. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. Let's not get that twisted. The opinions expressed are those, they're mine, they're my opinions. And so I always ask that you do your own diligence and please consult a qualified financial advisor who is familiar with your unique financial circumstances. Please do join, subscribe to my YouTube channel at Path to Financial Independence. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And also, if you're catching this on Apple Podcasts or whatever outlet you're viewing this on, please leave me a comment, leave me some feedback. If you find this some value, please leave me a 5-star review. I would really appreciate it. So let's go ahead and get started right now with number one. All right, so reminder number one is that financial wellness should be a top priority. So let me start by defining what I mean by financial wellness. And I think this was from episode number 4, but financial wellness is the state of having a healthy relationship with money, characterized by the ability to manage your day-to-day expenses, prepare for financial emergencies, and plan for future goals. It involves a balance between immediate financial demands and long-term financial aspirations, ensuring that your financial practices contribute to your overall well-being and peace of mind. So financial wellness isn't just about the money, but it should contribute to your overall health and well-being. So that's number one. It should be a priority because it is important. All right. Number two, God has given you the power and the ability to get wealth. Now, that was a really good episode. You got to go back and catch that one. But if he made provisions for you to get wealth, if he gave you the power, the ability, the wisdom, the means to get wealth, then don't you think that is something that he may want you to have? So here again, I'm just want you to kind of warm up to the fact that it's okay to pursue financial wellness. It's okay to pursue financial independence. It's okay to pursue wealth because God has already provided you with what you need to be able to get it. But like I said in the episode, you got to be able to tap in. So go back and check that episode out. Number three is budget before you buy. So this was from my episode that I did on just tips to help protect your peace of mind and your wellness over the holidays. So sometimes we just get in trouble because we spend more than we have available. So one way to avoid that is just budget before you buy. And that doesn't have to just stop around the Christmas holidays. Throughout the whole year, make sure each month or whenever you get paid, set a budget for what you have, where money needs to go at for different things. And before you make any major purchases, make sure that it's according to your budget. So what you want to do is just get into the habit of doing that on a regular basis. And what will begin to happen is that you'll kind of intuitively already know where your spending ranges are. So you can kind of already figure, like if you're out hanging out with friends, you're like, oh, I know I only have $200 or $300 budgeted and I'm already at, you know, $299. So I need to push the pause button. So make sure that you budget before you buy. All right. Next is prioritize self-care. So what good is money and finances if you're not well, if you're not healthy, if you're not feeling good? But that's not going to just, there's so many things in this world that can help, that can actually take away from your health. So you have to make sure that you prioritize your self-care. You got to make sure that you're doing things not to stress yourself out. If you have, we'll talk about this a little bit later too, but if you have aspects of your finances that's causing you financial stress and worry, you have to prioritize your self-care to make sure that you do what's necessary to deal with those things. And that's really one of the reasons why I created this podcast, because I wanted people who, especially my working people, man, like myself, my working professionals, I didn't want people to just continue going through life believing that they have to just deal with stress and worry and cares and anxiety over money. You don't have to, but it is going to require for you to make some changes where your thoughts and your behaviors are concerned. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me stick to the script. So, number four, prioritize self-care. Number five, use money to enhance your financial health and overall well-being. So again, kind of making the same case for your financial health, but instead of just seeing money as something to pay bills, use money to enhance your financial health and your overall well-being. They should all work together. And I always like to say, if something is costing you your health or your peace, it's too expensive and it's not worth it. So whatever that may be, if it's causing you peace of mind and it's causing you compromising a level of optimal health, it's too expensive. You got to let that thing go, man, because it's not worth it. All right, number six is three steps of the financial social work process. So I talked about this with my special guest. I think Pam Jemison was on this episode. And as I say often, I'm a financial social work coach. And part of the framework that I use and when I'm coaching and helping my clients is this three-step process. Number one, changing your relationship with yourself and money. So my belief is that financial independence, financial wellness, financial freedom, wealth creation, it starts with your identity. It starts with knowing who you are. But we've been programmed to look at ourselves in, let's just say, a less than favorable way where money and finances are concerned. So number one, you have to start with your relationship with yourself and your money, and that's really getting to that identity area. Number two, you have to change your mindset. Everything rises and falls on your mindset. So here again, a lot of us was programmed with the go to school, get an education, get a job, work 40 years until you retire mindset. But nowhere in that equation was wealth and financial independence factored in there, or just being financially well or having a financial peace of mind. So it's going to require you to change your mindset. And then lastly, once you have an idea of who you are and you start to change your mindset, then you need to work on changing some of your behaviors, specifically around how you make money, how you spend money, how you save money, how you borrow money, and how you invest money. So that's the three-step financial social work progress process. All right, number seven, uncover your money story to get a better insight around some of your present behaviors where money is concerned. So, as I said in the previous step, you gotta ultimately have to change your financial behavior, but you need to understand what are some of the things that's influencing how you currently interact and engage with money. And so we talked about really going back and thinking about what are some of those money stories that you heard growing up as a child. Did you always hear money doesn't grow on trees, or you have to work twice as hard? Or, did you believe that the harder you work, the more that you'll get? All of those different things may influence how you act with money today. Some households, you may never have had a discussion about money, or money may have already always brought up a level of worry, arguments, care, and anxiety. So you need to go back and really take stock of what are some of the money stories and experiences that I had early on that could be shaping how I'm engaging with money now. Okay. And then once you figure that out, then you need to go through that process of changing your relationship with money, changing your thought process, and changing those behaviors. All right, number eight. Financial worry, stress, and anxiety must be dealt with because they will rob you of your health, your happiness, your peace of mind, and your enjoyment in life. So that's pretty much self-explanatory. If you don't take care of that worry, stress, and anxiety, it's going to take care of you. And we're not going to have that in 2025. So if you need help, let me say this. If you've been stressed out, worried about money, finances, and you just can't figure out, what's the root of this? Schedule a financial health assessment with me. And it's just a money discussion. It's just, let's talk about money. So it's not going to be anything obtrusive. I'm not going to get into all your numbers. I just want to help you figure out like what's causing the stress and how can we get rid of it. So if that's something that you're interested in, go to my website at GerardAAnderson.com and schedule that financial health assessment. All right, next, number nine is work to be well and wealthy, not simply to pay bills and retire. Boy, this was a good one. So a lot of times we just get the idea that the purpose of work is just make sure you can pay your bills and save a little bit of money and work to retirement. But I want you to change your idea of the concept of work. I want you to work number one, first to be well in your body. So that means you're working so you can feed yourself high quality foods. You can have time for rest and recreation, to go on vacations, to places where you want to go, and just to be able to take care of your immediate needs so they don't cause any unnecessary stress and anxiety. So work to be well and to be wealthy. A lot of times we don't include the wealth part of working, but working is a good foundation layer of being of building wealth. Now, I'm not going to say that you can, some people can through saving through their 401k, but it's going to be hard to accumulate or to amass wealth just from working alone. It's a good foundation, but you can't stay there. But here again, use work to be well and to be wealthy. Number 10, I just wanted to remind you of my goal in creating this podcast, and it's to bridge the gap between work, wellness, and wealth. So a lot of times, work for a lot of people is associated with stress and anxiety. And a lot of times there is no connection between work and wealth. So I wanted to bridge all three of those. I didn't want you to just work and struggle your whole life. I wanted you to work and I want you to focus on wellness while you're working. But I also want your end game to be creating wealth because guess what? Once you get to the place of creating wealth, you may get to the place that you don't have to work anymore. So all of these work together, the work, the wellness, and the wealth, they all should be working together, not against each other. All right, number 10, I just did number 10. Number 11, what does financial wellness mean to you personally? So this is a question that I want you to ask yourself. What does financial wellness mean to you personally, and how aligned are your current behaviors and habits with that definition? So, if financial wellness part of that means having a peace of mind or having enough money to live your desired lifestyle, are your current habits and behaviors in alignment with that? In other words, if you're spending way more than you're making, you're out of alignment. There's no way that you're going to not get to a place of being stressed and get to a place of building wealth if you're spending more than what you're making. Number two, if you're always worried and anxious and frustrated about money and you never really take the time to figure out why, then your behaviors aren't aligned with financial wellness. So here again, part of that financial assessment is about helping you get back into alignment. So not only are you working, but you're experiencing a level of financial peace, financial independence, and financial wellness. All right. Number 12, you can't be financially well if you're not well. Don't miss that one. You can't be financially well if you're not well. So, in other words, if you are always stressed out, or if you're dealing with an ailment in your body or a level of sickness, even though your money may be at a certain level, or you may have a certain level of savings or investments, you're still not financially well because you're not well. And so your money is going to have to be used to take care of the part of you that's not well. So what I'm my hope, my desire for you is holistic wellness. I want you to be well in your spirit. I want you to be well in your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I want you to be well in your body. So it's about so much more than just money. It's about wellness in every area of life. Okay. So you can't be financially well if you're not well. So take care of your mental health, take care of your emotional health. Anything that's out of alignment, let's do some work on that. Number 13. And I already did this for you, but I want you to go and define financial wellness for yourself. So that's very important that you have to come up with your own working definition of what financial wellness means for you. All right. I told y'all I'm not playing tonight, man. I know there's a lot of you still enjoying that downtime before you go back to work in the new year. So I didn't want to take too much of your time tonight. So that's why I'm moving through these pretty quickly. Number 14, procrastination is one of the biggest saboteurs of wealth creation. So I talked about that in one of my previous episodes on the dangers of procrastination. And why is procrastination so dangerous? Well, you know what? No, that's the next 16. So 14 is procrastination is one of the biggest saboteurs of wealth creation. 15 is what is procrastination? It's the act of delaying or postponing something. So even some of the things that I'm mentioning tonight, if you know that you need to kind of go back and maybe take stock of what some of your past money stories are, hey, don't procrastinate on that, man. Go ahead and do that now. Or if you know you need to start your emergency fund, or you know you need to start putting more aside, or you need to start investing or increase your allocation to your retirement fund, don't procrastinate on that, because what you're doing is number 16, procrastination leads to wasted time and missed opportunities. So when you're procrastinating, what are you doing? You're wasting precious time, and time is the only commodity that we're not going to get any more of. And sometimes you're not even guaranteed to get the same opportunities. Like, just say if there's a dip in the market and there's a perfect time for you to invest, you know, you may be fearful, or you may be, you know, hey, I'm going to enjoy this money. I'm going to go on a little shopping spree, and you miss that window to invest at that price. Look, wasted time and missed opportunities, you can't get those back. Okay. So that's why procrastination is so dangerous. And I want you to deal with that. Definitely heading into 2025. Number 17, lesson tip number, or reminder 17, to overcome procrastination, three things that you must do. Number one, you must define clearly what it is that must be done, or the thing that you're procrastinating on. So clearly define that, and then identify the next step in getting that thing done. So that's really important. So once you clearly define what needs to be done, you need to clearly identify what's the next action step I need to take in getting that done. Number two, you must decide to actually do it. And this may seem like an oversimplification, but a lot of times we don't do things simply because we haven't made a decision to. So deciding means you're cutting off all other alternatives and you're just focusing on doing this one thing. And number three, you have to set a date to get it done. So these are three very important aspects of overcoming procrastination. Got to define, you have to decide and make a decision, and you have to set a date. Number 18, create your estate plan starting with your will. This was my episode I did with my special guest Ron Grider, and man, this really changed my life, because he was one of the he inspired me to get my estate plan done. So let me tell you, estate plans are important because they might not cause a lot of stress on you, but they're still going to cause a lot of stress on those you leave behind after you transition out of here. So I'm not going to go too deep into that, but I just want to challenge you in 2025, if you have not created your estate plan, if you haven't gotten a will done yet, please, man, please, sir, don't procrastinate on that in 2025. All right. I'll be checking with you again on that one now. So make sure you get it done. All right. Number 19, commit to regularly increasing your financial literacy. I could do another whole episode on this one, but I'm not. You know the importance, like Going back to your mindset, you're going to operate on the level of your current knowledge and understanding. And with everything in the world changing, we have a new administration coming in. A lot of things are going to shift and change. So you're going to have to increase your level of financial literacy on a regular basis. And that's part of one of my missions here in this podcast. And everything that I do is to help you do that. I have a couple of courses I want you to check out on my website that's going to help out with that as well. Matter of fact, it's going to help out with all of these steps that I'm talking about because I address how to do a lot of these things. And I call it my 31 irrefutable laws of financial independence. So a lot of these steps that I'm giving you, I walk you through exactly how to do it and the importance of doing it in that 31-day course. And so it can literally change the whole trajectory of your financial status in 31 days. So here again, go to GerardAAnderson.com and enroll in that 31 Irrefutable Laws of Financial Independence. I'm telling you, in 31 days, I don't care where you are now, your whole financial situation can look different. Okay, so check that out too. All right, next is 20. Tap your inner potential to find ways to generate more income. Look, inflation is real. I don't think that prices are going to go down on anything anytime soon. As a matter of fact, everything is going up every day. So, as much as goods and services are going up every day, you need to make sure your income up is going up consistently as well. But that's going to require you here again to change the way you think. You're going to have to learn some new things, learn some new skills. You're going to have to learn how to, sell a product or sell a service. So do what you need to do to make sure that your income is increasing on a regular basis. And that may not happen overnight, but here again, at least get the process started, start that business, create that product. It may not generate immediately, but guess what? If you start it now and you get to a place of being profitable by the end of, let's say, next year, that's some place that you wouldn't have gotten if you didn't start. So my thing for you is it may not happen overnight, but just get started now. You got to figure out how to increase your income. That's another financial health assessment money talk conversation. So if you need some help with that, you know what to do and you know where to go at. Number 21, make sure your out goal doesn't exceed your income. That's just another way of saying, listen, you can't build wealth or become financially independent if you're spending more than you make. All right. Number 22, save for unexpected expenses, retirement, and recreational activities. So this is just planning. So if you know you want to go, like for me, I want to travel a little bit internationally next year. Well, guess what? I'm going to have to start, and I am saving for those things now. I got a couple of trips lined up. I'm going to have to start saving for that stuff now. So, things that seem far off, retirement, that vacation next year, the unexpected expenses, you don't know where those are going to happen. We had a situation in my house where we found out that there was some little critters crawling around in our attic. Unexpected expense, almost $2,000. But here again, because I had already made a habit to save for unexpected expenses, it didn't cause us to have to tap our regular income and our regular savings. So those things are going to happen. So prepare for them. Don't procrastinate. Save, save, save. However little or much you can, every little bit matters. Okay. Number 23, make your money work harder for you than you do for it. Listen, I could do another whole episode on this one right here, but this is one of the great mysteries of money that you have to figure out if you want to become wealthy. You have to figure out how to make your money work harder for you than you do for it. And here again, I do address those in some of my resources on my website. So make sure that you take advantage of those. Number 24, invest for the long term to take advantage of compound interest. Time, time, time. Another reason why procrastination is so deadly because it cuts off time for your money to grow interest and compound. Okay. Pretty self-explanatory, but You got to get started. That's the underlying theme of tonight. You have to get started with these things, and then you have to be consistent with it. And number 25, I want you to teach your children about money and personal finance as early as possible, because going back to your estate plan, all of that stuff is going to have to go somewhere. And so you want to make sure that your children are able to handle it. All right, I told y'all I was going to run through these. So that's 25. So go back and listen to these. I hope they add some value for you and maybe cause some ahas to go off in your mind on things that you need to do. And go ahead and start taking action on those things now. Before I end for tonight and for 2024, I'm really going to start next year off really dealing with mindset. And one of the things that I'm going to do is just start really pulling some material from my book, Five Star Mentality. I just did a reel talking about the five talents. And I don't know if you all remember that story, but it's a parable in the Bible. And a owner gave his servants one, he gave the one talent, he gave another one two talents, and he gave another one five talents. And basically, he told him to go and do business until I return. And, he was expecting his money to be working for him while he was gone. And so, one of the things that I realized is that each of those servants had a different mentality. The one with one talent, what did he do with his? He buried his. He had a one-star mentality. And so, he was probably overcome by fear, doubt, and lack of confidence. Two-star, he was just like, he took his two and he didn't have as much as the five, but steady working, consistent, resilient. He took that two and he gained two more talents. The five star, like, look, here's the goal. This is what we're going to do. We're going to make this money multiply. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what comes in our way. We're going to make it happen. That's a five star mentality. And that's where I want to help lead you to in 2025. And I wrote about my process of going from a one star to a five star mentality. And it's not like a mean, it's not an end, like your mindset is always evolving, but the process, you got to get that down so you get to a place where you're ever evolving. But going into next year, you definitely want to get a copy of this book. Go to fivestarmentality.com. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching from here, beginning in 2025. And we're really, 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 really going to dig down and address some of those root issues where our belief systems and our mindsets are concerned. So here again, go to fivestarmentality.com and pick your copy of this up. All right, y'all, that is it. Appreciate you all rocking with me this year. I mean, this has been a great year, but 2025 is going to be off the charts even compared to this year. So I thank you so much for your support. Got a lot of stuff planned for you in 2025, and look forward to just taking this financial freedom journey with you and taking it to the next level. So I'll see you in 2025. I'll talk to you later. Bye.